With our special guest tonight, obviously, Jim Mars, The Rise of the Fourth Reich. We're going to take your phone calls with Jim when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Jim, do you go into Wernher von Braun much in terms of his technology and his capabilities?
Oh, yes, very much so.
I know Richard Hoagland next week is going to talk a lot about him as well. I think he possessed some secrets that we the public, are not aware of.
That's true. But one secret that's out comes from Carol Rosen, who was the first female CEO of Fairchild Industries and worked very closely with Wernher von Braun.
Almost like an aide to him, wasn't she?
Yes. And she said, and I'll just paraphrase and make it quick, that he told her way back in the 70s that right now the perceived enemy is the communist. He said, but that's a lie. And he said, and when that doesn't work anymore, then the next perceived enemy will be international terrorists, probably from the Middle East. Hello, here we are. And he said, once that doesn't work anymore, the next threat will be a threat from space. He said, but it's all a lie.
All a lie.
All a lie.
You ready for some calls?
Let me make one point.
Absolutely.
Everybody listening is probably thinking, well, you know, I'm just one person. What can I do about all this? Well, the first thing you do is educate yourself as to what's really going on. And where do you start? Well, I would humbly suggest that you start with my book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, and check my website, jimmars.com, JIMMARRS.com, because everybody understands that we've kind of gotten off the track and that we're going down the wrong path in this country. But the problem is, George, nobody quite knows who to point the finger to. Liberals blame the conservatives. Conservatives blame the liberals, just like everybody used to blame the communists. And so nobody quite knows. If you'll study the material that I present in my book, you're going to find that we can all stand tall as freedom-loving Americans and point the finger where it really goes to the one group that is still politically correct to vilify, and that is National Socialist Nazis. And we can all get behind a movement to stop the Nazis. And these people are Nazis. They're National Socialists. And in my book, I even detailed the infiltration of the Republican Party going all the way back to the time of Nixon, who was put into government service with Nazi money.
And we're not talking about skinheads. We're talking about a very sophisticated, covert effort, right?
Absolutely. And funded and pushed along and supported at the very top of the food chain by self-styled globalists who are pushing their agendas through the consolidation and power of their multinational corporations. As Mussolini said, corporatism.
Yep.
Now, I would also add to this, and I'm sure that you will agree with me on this, George, because I've heard you say this before. Don't trust me, okay? I'm not asking for anybody's belief. I'm presenting documented information,
yep.
And you need to educate yourselves on what's really going on, and one of the first places to start would be to turn off the television, okay? Because you're getting your information from five corporations that are all marching in lockstep and giving you the same spin and the same information, as well as trying to distract you continually from what's really happening that impinges upon your life, okay? The Olympics are great, okay? Crime stories are always fun, you know.
And our sci-fi TV shows are
sci-fi
okay.
Sci-fi TV shows, they're wonderful. But, hey, we're talking about real life here and real people who are trying to gain control over you. So you have to educate yourself and then start educating your friends so that at some point we can all stand up and just say no. No, we're not going to do all this.
Well, as Howard Beale said in the movie Network, we're mad as hell, not going to take it anymore.
That's true.
First-time caller Mike in Long Island, New York. Hello, Michael, take it away.
Hi. How you doing, George?
Good.
Great show.
Thank you.
I have a quick question for Jim. The role that the Fool Society had on Adolf Hitler, and also is the Fool Society still around today? Because they had guest speakers back then, like Adolf Hitler, Rudolf Hess, Rosenberg, and Dietrich Eichhardt, who I think had a big influence on Hitler.
Absolutely,
I was just wondering if the mystical land of Fool is still around. They believe that the mystical land of Thule was in Antarctica and also in Tibet.
Well, number one, it's absolutely historic fact that the Nazis, and particularly the Abernami SS, traveled all around the world, to Tibet, to South America, to Antarctica, to plenty of places, looking for the origins of the human species and looking for, as you say, occult icons and occult things. Now, whether the Thule Society, the Thule Gesellschaft, which was one of the occult societies that, as you say, and you're absolutely correct, were instrumental in putting Hitler into power. But you have to understand that the Thule Society was made up of some of the most powerful and wealthy industrialists and financiers in Germany. So that was where some of the funding came from that put Hitler into power. Now, whether they still exist as a Thule Society or not, I don't know. I would tend to doubt it. But do their belief systems and their philosophies live on? Absolutely. And that's what my book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, is all about.
Oh, very interesting. Just one real quick question. There was a thing, I think, an American expedition. I'm not sure of the time frame. Led by Admiral Byrd.
You're talking about Operation High Jump, 1947.
Yes. Now, these people mysteriously disappeared or died. You know what happened with that? His whole unit was wiped out.
Well, that's not especially true. There were some casualties, but the whole group was not knocked out. This was right at the end of, just shortly after the end of World War II, Admiral Byrd sent this, was in charge of a huge military expedition to Antarctica, where rumors then and now said that the Germans had built a hidden base in Neuschwabenland. They got down there. They were supposed to be there for like 9 months. They styled it as a scientific expedition, and yet they were only there a couple of months, and they came back home very quickly. Admiral Byrd was quoted in a South American newspaper by a reporter who had accompanied him as saying, "The next war will be fought with craft that can fly from pole to pole in a matter of minutes." So it would seem to indicate that they ran into some very exotic technology that they were not prepared to deal with.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Do you think this propulsion system, this kind of technology now, is being used in space?
Yes. But not by, not for the benefit of the taxpaying American citizens.
No. We're not supposed to know about this.
No, that's not happening. Just like for 60 years we've been told that UFOs don't exist. But now, by the way, have you noticed that just since the first of this year, beginning with the UFO flap, as we used to call them, in Stephenville, Texas, now all of a sudden we've gotten some very serious media coverage. Larry King has had several programs dedicated talking to former military officers and pilots and various people, astronauts. We now have Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon, who's publicly stated that, the aliens are out there and that we have been using and back engineering their technology. And all of a sudden, this is kind of gaining traction with the public. And I mention this because I want to issue a warning to everyone. Just like we mentioned in the last segment, Dr. Wernher von Braun says that the next threat will be a threat from space, but it'll be a lie. So here's the thing. I think we're in a conditioning program, because for 60 years we've been conditioned to accept the idea that UFOs don't exist and that there's no life outside the Earth. If these globalists, if these New World Order people want to try to get us all stampeded because of a threat from space, they first have to condition us that there might be a threat from space. So now, while people are beginning to open their minds and open their eyes and look at the material and realize that there is a reality behind the UFOs, now we're in danger of another false flag operation where something will happen and they will blame it on space aliens. And then the refrain will be that we all have to band together under the United Nations or under the North American Union or whatever to protect us all from space aliens. And, of course, anyone, and George, you're ahead of the game, anyone who has studied the UFO phenomena, realizes that it stretches all the way back into man's prehistory. So if there was truly an alien agenda of blowing up the world or blowing up our cities or eating us or whatever it may be, they would have done it long before now, right?
That's true. That is true. David in Anchorage, Alaska, west of the Rockies, you're on with Jim Mars. Hey, David.
Hi, George. Hi, Jim. Hey, George, I just want to say that I have gotten such an education from this program. You've taken Coast to Coast in a whole new direction, and I think that I've probably at least put me on the path to finding out information that has really helped formulate my ways of thinking.
And more to come, David. More to come.
Yes. Yeah. And Jim, I want to say this, that because of Coast to Coast, I know that everything that you are speaking of is virtually gospel. That there's one question, though, that I haven't been able to track down in any kind of research, but it seems rational to me.
Okay, lay it on me.
The elitists are interested in not having a fourth group of dividing the world, and that's Africa. I believe that they're interested in depopulating Africa completely.
I think you're absolutely correct.
Now, I'm wondering if this, and this sounds so maniacal, but if the AIDS drugs that we're giving Africa isn't actually just a plan to keep people with AIDS living longer so that they can infect more people and ultimately completely depopulate Africa within the next 15 to 20 years?
Well, number one, I can't tell you that's the plan, because I'm not part of that. They don't confide in me. But what I can tell you is absolute fact, because I was not too long back speaking with a military man who was an analyst and studied the satellite images and information. And he was telling me that you could go back 10, 15 years, and through heat signatures, you could tell where there were large villages, large cities. And he said, over the past 15 years, it's all diminishing. And I think you're right. Some years ago, I was talking to a contact of mine with the State Department, and I asked him a question. I said, hey, what about Africa? I said, we haven't heard hardly anything about Africa anymore, and we used to always hear about Idi Amin and, you know, Uganda and Rwanda and all of these African nations. You know, I said, what's going on there? Do we not care anymore? He kind of laughed sadly, and he said, no, we don't pay much attention, because in another 15, 20 years, there's not going to be anybody over there.
Okay, great. Next up, let's go to Airborne. That's his name, Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Airborne.
How you doing, Jim and George?
Good.
Howdy.
All is well.
Okay, I thought, not so start off with what Dwight David Eisenhower said. And he said, do not let this country become a military-industrial project, and that's what it is. And they're also like IBM. Most people don't know that the concentration camps were kept up with by IBM for Hitler during the war. The Knight of War, or the Illuminati, or the Sacred 15 that supposedly runs this country, and a lot of other things, all the chemtrails and the chemicals that they're putting in the waters and everything. Our drinking water here in Knoxville has everything from Xanax to lead in it, and they're supposed to be cleaning it up.
Well, there's two reasons for that. Number one, to trim the surplus population. And two, to reduce our immunization systems so that everyone will have to go out and buy more drugs. When I was a young man, you never saw a drug ad on television or on the radio, and today, you know, they're ubiquitous. They're everywhere.
Yeah, and the way they're manipulating our food, they got rid of the small farmers so they could control the food sources here in America to keep this under control, have to truck it from everywhere. And when I was little, everybody had a little truck patch in their backyard. And the chemicals in the water are, I think they call it defeminizing the metals here in the United States, making them more passive. And also, them trying to take our guns away. And finally, somebody standing up for the Constitution. I'm glad to see it. Bush is rewriting it himself and not even having it run through the Congress and the Senate and having it ratified and put in the record or anything. And what do you think it's all going to come down to? I'm aware of the fact that there's going to be an artificial attack by space aliens, and then some super race is going to come in and supposedly rescue us all, and they're going to be our leaders, and we're going to buckle down, have the world order that they want anyway.
I don't think the super race will do that. I think we're on our own.
A truly super race probably wouldn't care to come here and try to lord it over
them. Oh, no, I'm not saying that they're actually going to do it. That's just
well,
like,
but I think what you're saying is they have the these evil people that are trying to kill off half the world and rule the other half, they're not above using exotic technology not known to the public to cow everybody into worshiping them as superior race.
True.
Absolutely. And what about the last two elections? Is it true that the candidates for president were distant? I'll take this answer off.
Okay. Yeah, I do believe that Kerry and Mr. Bush were cousins.
In fact, see, that pretty well tells you that the 2004 election pretty well typifies where we are today. You could vote for the Democrat, John Kerry, who was a all man and a secret society member, skull and bones, or you could vote for his cousin, George W. Bush, who's an all man and a skull and bones member. Now, where's the choice? And now, are you ready for this? This is true. According to Lynn Cheney, Dick Cheney's wife, Barack Obama is a cousin to Dick Cheney.
Yeah. She, by the way, is a pretty prolific author.
Yes.
And very good.
Very good. And, you know, some of these authors are trying to tell us what's going on. I think the problem is they're having a hard time trying to decide, you know, who to point the finger at, who's really behind this. Let me quote to you from John Dean, the White House counsel to Richard Nixon. And he's written a book recently called Broken Government. And in there he said, it's been new on Capitol Hill since about 1997, about 3 years after the GOP gained control of the House. It's been new to the White House since 2001 with the arrival of George W. Bush and Richard B. Cheney, although its roots first emerged during the Nixon presidency and began blossoming in the Reagan and Bush senior years. So what's he talking about? He's talking about, I'm sure if you ask John Dean, he'd say, well, I was referring to neoconservatism, okay? But what I'm telling you here, and if you'll read my book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, and check my website, jimmars.com, you're going to find out that neoconservatism, the neocons, are nothing but National Socialists, the acronym of which is Nazis.
You've done a great job with this book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, Jim. A lot of work went into this.
Thank you, George. And as I think that your listeners need to know that I don't only deal with what happened to Hitler and what happened during the war and paperclip and what happened after the war in the space, but then later on I actually get into the Nazi psychiatry, Nazi chemicals, Nazi drugs, Nazi school programs, and everything that's going on today, you will find you can lay at the feet of these National Socialists.
We'll be back with final phone calls with our special guest tonight on Coast to Coast AM, Mr. Jim Mars. I'm George Norrie. I'll be right back. On our next Coast to Coast program, our Friday into Saturday morning program, they are supposed to tell us about that creature that they found in Georgia. Is it a Bigfoot? Who knows? But if it turns out to be something of what I would like to say, incredible significance, we'll expand the program tomorrow and not just go to open lines, because this may be too big a story with regards to searching for Bigfoot. If, on the other hand, it's something else, it'll be open lines on Friday into Saturday morning. You know, as you know, Jordan Maxwell, Richard Hoagland believe in numbers as well with the Illuminati, Jim. And, you know, for example, you know, we look at how the Chinese kicked in the Olympics, 8808, the war, you know, Russia goes into Georgia, 8-8. All of it's strange. Even way gone back, the Knights Templar, you know, did their things, recognized by the Patriarch of the Kingdom of Jerusalem, according to my old notes, 888 years ago. Do you believe in numbers? You think the Illuminati go by these strange codes?
Well, it really doesn't matter whether I or you or anybody else believes in them. The point is that they do.
They do.
And, in fact, in my book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, when I deal with the alternate space program, it's been pointed out and then criticized and then found out, yeah, it was correct, that most of our major space shots, including Apollo missions, as well as some of the more prominent Russian space shots, were all timed to date and time, not for any scientific basis, but for the alignment of the planets and the stars and the constellations, some sort of astrological meaning. And again, that has been proven to be true. I mean, this is incredible to me because this means that someone with enough power to set the time and date of NASA space launches as well as launches in Russia does believe in all of this.
Yeah, they're all tied into it together.
Absolutely.
Back to the phones we go. Final segment, Tucson, Arizona. Hello, Neil. Go ahead, Neil.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
It's very good to talk to you, George. First-time caller, and I'm very glad to speak with you. I have the book Crossfire sitting right in front of me. I'm almost done with it. Mr. Jim Mars.
Yep.
My wife also has, we went to Barnes & Noble's, and she has your second book on the rise of the fourth rank, but she won't let me read it until she's done with it.
Well,
because I'm not done with Crossfire yet. And I'm from Dallas, Texas, originally. I'd like to ask you two questions. The first one is more important to me than the second one, and the second one is on JFK. But the first one is on the presidency that's coming up right now, and the families that have taken over the world, which, George, I appreciate you and your show. You educate me more than anything we ever learned in the military.
Hmm.
And I just can't understand if, over the information I've already gotten tonight over McCain, and that's who we were going to vote for. We were the lesser of two evils. But I'm retired military, so our money is very important to us, retired. But is the vice presidency, how they pick, are everybody that you're hearing, that I'm hearing on Fox News, everything else, and CNN, are our vice presidencies, candidates, are they all tied into the same family and or families? And then my second question, because I'm going to listen off the air because I want to hear.
Sure.
My second question is, in Crossfire, being from Dallas, I could have stood right there, right beside the glass booth, right there where Oswald took his shots on the depository building. Now, I was born and raised right there. I've been there more times than I can count. Now, I was a sniper in the military. I could have took those shots when Kennedy turned his first right turn with the limousine coming straight towards the depository.
That's your shot right there.
I would have taken those shots right there as a sniper. Rather than wait for the trees and everything to go by and wait for under the railroad tracks and all, those are going shots.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hang up, and if you would answer both those questions, I would like to, if you'll wait just a second for me to get back in the house because my wife is sleeping.
All right, start running. Start running now. You're lucky. We're on a 40-second delay, so you'll be able to get there. By the time you get in there, you'll still be hearing yourself. Jim, in terms of the candidates, the vice presidential candidates, they're all picked strategically to help the president. Johnson hated Kennedy. Kennedy hated Johnson, but they needed each other. It was one of those arranged marriages.
Right.
In these particular cases, I think the same. I mean, Bush and Cheney, mismatch made in heaven, with Cheney probably being one of the most powerful VPs I can imagine. What about these, the ones they're looking at now?
Well, of course, the problem is that we don't know who they're going to ultimately pick. So I'd say get back with me and ask me that same question.
Good point.
We know who we're dealing with. But I will also say, though, that once you understand these globalists and their mentality, they are not going to allow anybody to even get to the position of vice president unless it's someone that they have every reason to believe they can control.
Absolutely. They've already signed off on him, endorsed him, and he already agrees with their platform.
That's right. And you mentioned Kennedy Johnson. That was quite a conundrum at the time, because everybody wondered why Johnson would give up his very powerful Senate seat to become vice president under Kennedy, where he was essentially had no power, really couldn't do much of anything. And you're right. The Kennedy White House didn't like Johnson at all. In fact, that behind his back, they'd call him Uncle Cornpone. And
well, he got his power in 3 years, didn't he?
That's right.
Yeah.
All it took was some shots in Dealey Plaza, and then he had his heart's desire, which was to become president. It's really something. But then you look at the difference between Bush and Cheney. Cheney pretty well runs the show.
Bush is
the figurehead.
I think so. I think President Bush without Cheney, with let's say a more human vice president, so to speak, might have been way better off.
I think
he got, and I'm sure when he gets out of office, he will realize the kind of bum information he got from the people who are supposed to be telling him the truth.
Exactly. Now, I'm not exactly clear on the question that the caller had, although as a military sniper, he is certainly aware of the problems in the official pronouncement that Lee Harvey Oswald, who could barely qualify in the Marines with a rifle with open sights, was able to use a cheap $12 Italian war rifle and get off 3 shots in 6 seconds.
Through trees.
And hit the president. And he's absolutely correct. For any competent sniper, the shot would have been when the president turned north on Houston Street and was coming directly at him, which presented a stationary target, rather than wait until he made that 120-degree turn on the Elm, going through with trees intervening and moving downhill laterally away from him.
Did you see some of Gerald Ford's papers were released a few days ago? And he pointed out to the FBI that a couple members of his Warren Commission that they had doubts about the official story.
That's true. And the reason that's now coming public is because what has been established is that Gerald Ford was actually J. Edgar Hoover's spy on the Warren
on the commission. Yeah,
yes, he
absolutely.
Was reporting back. And, of course, he got his payoff by becoming president.
Yep.
There's something else that I'll mention. I'll try to make this brief, but it's really interesting, and this has to do with sniper methodology. There is something called plunging fire. If you fire a rifle from a very high location to a target at a very low location, gravity comes into play, and you may be aiming at your target's head, but you're going to end up hitting him in the back because the bullet drops. Okay, so for Oswald, who could barely qualify with an open sight rifle, to be able to hit 2 out of 3 shots in 6 seconds is an impossibility.
All right, next up, let's go to Justin in Salt Lake City. You're on the air with us. Hey, Justin.
Hi, guys.
Yes,
how's it
sir.
Going?
Good.
Howdy.
Well, I'm here working tonight, a security guard in Salt Lake City, and I had a question. Regarding mostly the history of, I know you're probably not big on the LDS religion, or I mean, like, know too much about it. But from what I know and from what I've learned, and I've met other security guard, one of them that works at the city and county building in downtown Salt Lake City, on one of the stones there on the corner of the building, there's a compass, and there is, I believe it is a hammer, the logo for the Illuminati.
No, it's not the Illuminati. Those are symbols of Freemasonry.
And I had questions. If you knew anything about the Mormon religion, and if there's any ties to Freemasonry. Because I've heard conflicting stories, something about Joseph Smith being involved with the Illuminati or Freemasonry, and seeing as I'm in the area of the world where people aren't too, I don't know, they don't seem to want to talk about that very much because the majority of the people here are LDS, and you don't want to get them angry with you, you know, which is usually the typical reaction.
Right.
I want to know if you knew anything about this.
Well, I do know some bit about the Latter-day Saints or the Mormons. And, of course, what's really astounding about that whole religion is it does go back to Joseph Smith, who said he got these tablets from Moroni, who he described and apparently styled as an angel. But if you study the details of his encounters, it almost sounds like one of these encounters of the third kind. But, of course, we don't know that. I'd also say that the Mormons are very close-mouthed about their beliefs and about what they're doing. And I would also say that probably the Mormons are like any other religion, whether it's where you go to a synagogue or a cathedral or a little clapboard church. You've got a little bit of everybody. You got good folks and not so good folks, and you got people like, well, Richard Nixon was a Mormon, so, you know, what can I say? But you cannot brand a whole group, you know, and you can't tar them with the same brush because you've got a lot of individuals in there, and so you have to just take them on an individual basis.
Okay, let's go to Vancouver Island, Canada. Hey, John, take it away. You're on with Jim Mars.
Hey, how you doing tonight, guys?
Good, we're well.
I wanted to bring up the matter of a book that I had the fortunate I was fortunate to read. It's called Alternative 3. Are you familiar with it?
Yes, I am.
Could you maybe just
yeah? Let me run through that real quick, and I'll tell you what I think that there's some validity to that. Alternative 3 is a concept that came up in Britain several years back, and it's basically that these world elitists, the globalists, are taking steps and doing things that are destroying the environment of this planet. So they wanted some alternatives to get away from nuclear war or big geophysical changes. So alternative one was to stack atom bombs, blow a hole in the atmosphere to release greenhouse gases, but that was before they realized the dangers of radioactivity. And once they realized if they did that, they could blow the whole atmosphere apart and they could spread radiation all around the world. So they gave up on alternative one, went to alternative two, which was to build huge, massive underground bunkers and almost cities so that they could go underground and survive. But I think that they came to realize that if big geothermal, geophysical changes take place, like earthquakes and things like that, that they're not even safe underground. So alternative three is the idea that they, and this fits right into the idea of a parallel space program, that they were using exotic technology, perhaps energy manipulation, such as it was connected to the Nazi Bell experiments, to devise anti-gravity craft that could get them off the Earth swiftly and efficiently, so that if they do trip up and start a nuclear war, or if there are gigantic Earth changes taking place, they'll just go off planet. Now, whether that's absolutely true or not, I can't say. But when you read my book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, and see the information about the very real possibility of a covert third space program, then that fits right into it.
Jim, there's so many things going on that if the public, which is now starting to wake up, simply sat back and heard these things 5 or 10 years ago, they'd think everybody was nuts, wouldn't they?
Well, they certainly thought I was nuts because I was trying to tell them these things, same things 5 or 10 years
ago. Yeah, you've been doing this for a long time. You haven't changed.
No, and the thing is, that goes back to the 60s when I was writing as a newspaper reporter and said that if you'll really look at the facts, you'll find that Kennedy was killed as the result of a big conspiracy that reached to the top of the American power structure. And, of course, everybody said, well, you're nuts. And today, the polls show about 85 to 90% of the population is now on board with that. When Vietnam came along, I said, you know, this is the wrong war at the wrong time. And I was proven correct again.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, I just, again, so, you know, you would think after being right about so much for about 30 or 40 years that people go, well, maybe we ought to give him a listen. You know, maybe he does know something.
he can't be lucking out on all these.
That's right. He can't be throwing darts at a board. He'd miss once in a while.
The Rise of the Fourth Reich, where do you get it, Jim?
You can get it at my website, jimmarz.com. That's JIMMARRS, two R's, like the planet, but with an extra R. You can get it at Amazon, of course, or you can go to just your local bookstore. It was published by William Morrow, a subsidiary of HarperCollins, and it's available basically everywhere.
What's your favorite chapter in the book?
Oh, that is so hard to say, because it is so, as you well know, George, it's just so crammed full of
everything. I mean, it's got it all. UFO technology, secret societies.
The drugs.
Everything.
I was particularly taken, though, with two things. Number one, the fact that everyone is so concerned about teen suicides and school shootings these days. And, of course, the corporate-controlled media only tells us, well, it's guns. Well, no, it's not. I grew up in Texas. We all took guns to school. Everybody had a gun in their pickup truck, in the rack, you know. But we didn't shoot anybody. It has to do with these Nazi drugs.
That they are literally polluting everyone. Jim, we're out of time. I want to thank you. JimMarz.com, The Rise of the Fourth Reich. He's one of our favorite guests. For Kira Scoburn, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.